story is told of a wealthy Englishman named Baron Fitzgerald. Baron Fitzgerald had an only son. He loved this boy with all of his heart, with all of his might. He loved his baby boy. Well, unfortunately, this young man got sick. And he died. And old Baron Fitzgerald's heart was shattered at the loss of his only son, whom he loved. As time went on, this very wealthy man passed away, and he had a very large art collection that was extremely valuable. Not having an heir, for he'd only had a son and his wife had long passed away before him, it was determined that he would auction off all of his art. The auction was established, a date was set, a time was set for this great multi-million dollar collection to be auctioned off. The first piece to be auctioned was a picture of his son. This piece did not have the beauty and the voluptuous nature of all the other pieces. It was sort of a personal thing. And it was the first piece auctioned off. Of course, all who came were coming for the expensive pieces, not this ordinary picture of his son whom he loved. And so the auctioneer asked for bids. And nobody bidded on the picture of his son, because they had come for all the good stuff, the expensive stuff, the valuable stuff, not the ordinary stuff. And the first picture offered was a picture of his son. Nobody bidded on his son. The auctioneer kept calling. Nobody bidded until a lonely man walked down the aisle and said, I'll take the picture. If no one else wants the picture of the boy, I'll take it. Everyone was getting antsy, wanting the auctioneer to carry out now the good stuff. The auctioneer said, the auction is now over. Everybody said, well, what do you mean the auction is over? You only offered one piece, and nobody significant wants that piece. It's just a servant who used to work in the man's house. That's the only one who wants that piece. The auctioneer said, the auction is over. People upset, they come from far and wide. How can the auction be over? He said, let me read you from the will of Baron Fitzgerald. The will of Baron Fitzgerald said, whoever buys the painting of my son receives my entire collection at no charge. So the auction is over. Because I want to reward anybody who feels about my son like I do. My only son, whom I loved. They get the collection thrown in because they've received the son. I'm going somewhere. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. For the Father loves the Son loves the Father. And if you have come to the Son, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. You've got the collection thrown in. Because you have placed faith alone in Christ alone, God is so excited about his love for his only begotten son that he has made you an heir to the throne of God and has placed inside of you God's very nature. We have an inheritance because we have the Son. You don't have to go get something new. All that God is ever going to do for you, he's already done. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Spiritual growth is the process of discovery. It is discovering all the collectibles that have come with the Son. It is the process of discovering all the value and the wealth and the excitement that has come with the Son. Question is, how do I discover it? How do I get it? If I got all this collection, all this inheritance, how do I get it or experience it, or how does it unveil itself before me? Well, we've already discovered it's by grace. It's what God gives. But how do I tap into it? Well, you've got the power. We've discussed that, the Holy Spirit. You've got the link. It's through prayer. What's missing? Let me say a word today about faith, the conduit of spiritual growth. Faith is the wire upon which the current of grace flows. Faith is the conduit. It is the conductor that connects you with all that God has given you, which you have now inherited in Christ. It is faith that makes real your link with the supernatural, that you might grow and develop into a maximum Christian. Faith links you to the supernatural realm. Faith is critical because it is the only mechanism that God has provided that links us to the realm we cannot see or take or grasp with our five senses. Let me look at a couple of passages with you today. So much is in the scripture regarding faith. First of all, Ephesians 3. I want to start off with why faith is important. It is this link. Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He says it is by faith, he's writing to Christians, that Christ makes himself at home in your hearts. Yeah. To make himself at home, the word dwell there in your Bible means to make oneself at home. Now, you know, some places you go, you don't feel at home. And you don't feel at home, and the less you feel at home, the less freedom you have. The less you feel at home, you don't take off your shoes if you don't feel at home. You don't go into any room if you don't feel at home. In fact, some folk let you know, don't feel at home. And when you feel that, you don't want to stay long. But when you feel at home, there is this freedom to enjoy where you are located. He says, let Christ make himself at home in your heart. How do you do it? He says, by faith. Faith is what makes the invisible reality of Christ's life real to us. And the more real it becomes to us because we're now free, or he's free to express himself through us, the more we grow. Because he's free to do things now he was not free to do before. Faith is the wire that connects the Holy Spirit's work with our new life in Christ, our new nature. You hear the sound this morning because there are speakers above and below, but there is no sound in the speaker. The speaker only delivers sound from elsewhere. The reason the speakers can deliver sound from elsewhere is that there is a connection, a cord, you see, that links it to where the music is being played from, and all the speakers do is deliver it. The reality is elsewhere. The reality is not in the speaker. The speaker is only delivering the reality to you because there is a connection. Your ability to be Christ, a little Jesus, isn't you. You're just the delivery mechanism so that the sound of the new life of Christ can be expressed through you, and that is done by the cord of faith. So that you can express this new life. We've used the issue of pregnancy to express that. My second daughter, Priscilla, is very pregnant. Because growth has occurred. Within her, the baby has linked into the umbilical cord and is being fed oxygen and being fed nutrition. And because this cord links the baby and the mother, it's showing up. So now I'm really feeling old, got grandkids all over the place. Now, she's not showing yet. The baby ain't made itself that home at home yet. But the more it siphons off of the life within, the more showing will occur. Faith is the cord. Faith is like a railroad track on which the train of the new life of Christ runs on. Christ wishes to dwell, it says, or make himself at home, or express himself through your body. Now, put it another way, you get dressed in the morning and you put on clothes. And the clothes cover you as your body moves throughout the day. The Bible says that you and I ought to put on Christ. To put it another way, you are what Christ is wearing today. Remember, he took up residence in your life, but the problem is he took it up spiritually. So anything he's going to need to do with you today, he needs your hands to do it, your feet to do it, your tongue to speak it, your ears to hear it. So you are the clothes he's wearing today. How you dressed. It says it happens by faith. Your body is the picture frame where the life of Christ has been inserted. A frame without a picture may be a decoration, but you can't do much with it. The attraction is the picture. Christ is the picture, your body is the frame through which the life of Christ is to express itself. Just as a ventriloquist expresses himself through a dummy. If a man can make a dummy look like it's doing something, surely Jesus Christ can make us dummies look like we are doing something. As he expresses himself, he says, by faith. So if faith is the way that makes Christ feel at home so that he can express himself to us and through us. If faith is the way that you grow to the fullness of God, he says, to the surpassing knowledge, if faith is the way that you comprehend with all the saints, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, if faith is the connecting link to my growth, that raises a question. What is faith? If it's that critical, if he's expressing himself based on faith. Now, Hebrews 11, discussing the hall of faith. In fact, Hebrews 11, 6, turn to Hebrews 11. He says in verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. He says in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You see how important faith is? Don't leave home without it. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You come to church, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. You read your Bible every day, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. You say your prayers every day, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, nothing else works where faith is absent. There's no spiritual exercise you can do. There's no spiritual work you can be involved in. There's no spiritual activity that you can accomplish that matters anything to God without faith. So this must be real important. What is it? He describes it in verse 1. Faith, he says, is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. Now please notice, faith connects you with that which sight can't. It is a conviction about something that you cannot see. So faith connecting you to the supernatural realm in order that you might grow has to do with linking you to a reality that transcends your five senses. Now watch this now. If it transcends your five senses, then to depend on your five senses is not to have faith. It is the evidence of what you can't see. So if you can see it, you don't need faith. I don't need to believe you sitting in front of me right now. I don't need to believe it because sight has taken care of it. I can see it. So I don't need any extra help to know you're sitting in front of me right now because my eyes have settled the issue. That's sight. But when it comes to connecting with the supernatural, with things that the five senses cannot partake of, he says it's going to take faith. Now let's get this thing straight about faith. Because we hear it all the time. I have faith, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. I know children that have faith in Santa Claus. I know children who trust the tooth fairy to leave money under their pillow when they lose a tooth. And they place the tooth under there. And in fact, I know parents who help with their children's faith in the tooth fairy or in Santa Claus. So a lot of people say they have faith when what they have faith in is faith. They do not have faith in an object that is worthy of trust. Faith is only as real as the reliability of the object to which it is directed. Therefore, faith is a conviction or a persuasion about the reliability of what you cannot see. The reason why it's impossible to please God without faith is because when you do not believe God, you are saying, in essence, you are no better than the devil. Because I can't trust you. It is to denigrate and insult God to not have faith in God because you're saying the object is not worthy of my trust. For many of us as Christians, the reason why we're not experiencing growth, we're not seeing the new life of Christ expressed, is because our faith does not go beyond our sight. And therefore, we're not pleasing God. And when you don't please God, you don't see him. The reason why God is a long way off to us is we do not see him, so we're not going to trust him, but we will go to church to sing to him. The African impala is a marvelous animal. This animal can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet out. It is phenomenal. It is one of the most magnificent creatures ever created. When it leaps 10 feet high and 30 feet out with one jump. But you could put an African impala in a 3-foot cage and it not do anything to get out there, even though it's got the power to jump it. Because the African impala will never jump where it can't see where its feet is going to land. It'll jump high if it can see it. But if it can't see it, it doesn't believe it has it. So you can keep it caged forever, even though it's got power to get over it. Because it will only function on sight. It will never function on faith based on a reality that you can't see. So what then is faith? Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, just because God said so. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, just because God said so. Because what faith says is, God, you are telling the truth. You are speaking the truth. Faith establishes what you think about God. And as far as God is concerned, many of his children have more confidence in the devil than they do in him. Or more confidence in themselves than they do in him. And if Christ is only going to express himself through faith, and there is no belief about the veracity or the truthfulness of God, then you will not see the supernatural, and your life will be lived in the natural, and you will never see who God is and what God can do, because you will be limited to the ground. In Hebrews chapter 11, it gives a list of faith, and in that list, every part of the list is telling you what somebody did in light of what they believe. How they acted in light of what they said they believed. To grow by your faith or be connected with this cord is to say, if God said it, then it must be true, because God is true. See, the question is the object worthy? Now, I've used this illustration many times, but it just sums it up. I was going to Iowa to preach. They were going to fly a twin-engine Cessna to pick me up. Sister Evans was supposed to go. She said, nope, I'm not going. I said, well, why are you not going? She said, I'm not going on no twin-engine Cessna to no Iowa. I said, your faith is small. She said, no, the plane is small. I got plenty of faith. I just don't have faith in that. We got switched. We wound up going Delta. Her faith grew because the size of the plane grew. In other words, the object determined the faith. The comfortability with the object. And the problem is, we're not comfortable with God, so we don't trust him. But we're comfortable with ourselves, so we trust ourselves. Then that makes you God. You have now become your own idolater. You've made yourself greater than God. When God says something, and he says things in two ways. He says things objectively through his word. When you read it, you can bank on it. And then he applies it subjectively through the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. Because you won't find all the specifics in the Bible about every situation you face. You'll find the objective precepts and principles, but now how you are to apply it, the Holy Spirit has to confirm that truth from the Word in its application in your life, and that's what he does. He takes the truth of God's Word, which doesn't change, and he applies it, and that's how you can say, I know what God wants me to do. Because he takes, you're not violating scripture, or he uses scripture to confirm a direction in your heart. And what happens with many of us is our feelings get in the way of our faith. That's our greatest problem. Now, don't misunderstand me. Feelings are real. If you feel it, that's real. You know, you can't dismiss the way somebody feels. If they feel bad, they feel bad. If they feel insecure, they feel insecure. You can't say to me, I'm feeling insecure. You can't say to me, don't feel insecure. I feel insecure. You know, that's how I feel. That's real. However, because it's real doesn't make it right. Okay? It's real, so you can't deny that I feel it, but that doesn't make it right. Let me tell you something about feelings. Feelings have no intellect. Feelings respond to what I'm thinking or what I'm believing. I believe I'm insecure, so I feel like I believe. You go to a horror movie. And you feel scared. You're nervous. You're feeling scared, or the music starts to play a certain way. So you know somebody get ready to jump out of from somewhere. And you start to feel afraid at a non-reality. It's not real. Nobody gonna get you. But a scenario has been painted on the movie that is now messed with your mind. And because now you are thinking fear, you begin to feel fear. Not because it's real, but because your brain has been tweaked by the movie script, by the music, by the acting of the characters, so that now your feeling has fallen in line with your thinking. And while your feeling is real, it's illegitimate. Because those monsters aren't real. You know, those scenes aren't real. It's not real. It's on a screen. But they have made it real to you. Now, that's the job of the devil. The job of the devil is to make the unreal real in your mind. See, that's what he did with Eve. He made that piece of fruit real to her in terms of moving away from what God said. And when he controlled her feelings, he got her feelings to overrule God's word. Feelings have no intellect. They're like yo-yos. They go up and down. That's why you can cry one minute, but if you get around somebody funny, they can make you laugh the next minute, because what they've done is changed your thinking. Or distracted you, so they've gotten you to feel differently. It's like, who gets nervous when you're in an airplane and you hit turbulence? Tell the truth, shame the devil. You hit turbulence, plane going up and down. You're getting nervous because you're way up in the sky. You're scared to death. You notice how different you feel when the pilot comes over? And he says, oh, we just have hit a little bad air pocket. We're going to pull up about 10,000 feet where the air will be smooth. You know how when his word comes into the middle of that turbulence, I'm going somewhere. You know, his word has intervened into how you feel. Now, you were never in jeopardy. You were never in trouble. You're just going through an air pocket, but the way it makes you feel causes you to be insecure because you think the sky is falling. You think I'm in trouble till you hear his voice. When his voice says, I know it feels bad, but it's okay. Because all it is air that can't hurt you. His word overrides the shakiness of the situation. And then you begin to relax. I remember one time we were in an airplane and it was turbulent. I mean, it was bad. And Sister Evans don't like to fly small planes. Not that happy about big planes. And now when they're going to be shaking all over the place, that's not a good thing. But then on top of that, the captain comes outside of the cockpit with the plane going crazy. The captain coming outside of the cockpit and the plane is just going crazy. She looked up and said, what you doing out here? Don't you need to be in there? And he just casually leaning up against the wall. Oh, he says, no, I don't need to be back there. The plane's on autopilot. The plane has been built in such a way to handle this situation, and it will adjust to the bumps automatically. So I can be there or not be there, it don't matter. When we heard his word, when he explained what the reality was, the question was then, are you going to believe what you feel? Or are you going to believe what the captain says? Where are you going to rest your faith? You cannot grow without faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to connect with God. Which means that you always must be living beyond your senses. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't live without your senses. You are just not limited to your senses. You're not limited to simply what you hear. You must ask, what is its source? What you feel, what is its source? That leads to one other statement then, the function of faith. Okay, what do I do to kick in faith so that I can experience this growth of the reality of Christ making himself at home in me? The function of faith. God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I'm going to send you to a place where you know not. All he knew was God said go. And he had to trust God. Now, how do you know he trusted God? He left. Don't tell me you're trusting God and have moved. Because then you haven't trusted me. You trusted God. Turn to James chapter 2 that was read in your hearing a little earlier, just a couple books back, one book back from Hebrews. What use is it, verse 14 says, my brethren, talking to Christians, if a man says, talking, yeah, I trust God, but he has no works, can that faith save him or deliver him? Because he's not talking about saved to go to heaven. He's talking about saved in terms of everyday living on earth. He then gives an illustration. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for the body, what use is that? So I come to you and I'm hungry. I say, I'm hungry. Please for some food. So you open the Bible. You say, let's have Bible study. And you show me where God promised to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You take me to Philippians 4:19. You take me to the Psalms where David says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. So now you give me the Bible. Then you say, let's get on our knees and talk to the Father. And we have a prayer meeting. I've gotten the word. I've gotten prayer. And then you say to me, bye. Be warmed, be filled. James says, what good did you do that man? You did him nothing. In other words, that was useless. That was a waste of his time and your time. Guess what? A lot of us are wasting our time this morning. Because we're coming to church to hear it. We're going to bow our heads to pray about it. But God says, if you believe that I'm telling the truth, it will affect your feet. Because you're going to do something different because you believe I'm telling the truth. Most Christians love the Bible, will pray to God, but don't believe he's telling the truth. And so you'll never see that he's telling the truth. It'll never happen to you. It'll never become real to you. To have faith is to act on what God says, even if you feel different. Even if your friends are telling you different. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if you're looking crazy. The Bible says we ought to walk by faith. In this farming community, it hadn't rained in a long time and things were getting desperate. So the ministers decided they were going to call a prayer meeting. They said, look, we want the whole town to come to the prayer meeting and bring your religious symbols. So the whole town showed up for the prayer meeting. And people brought crosses, they brought their Bibles, the Catholics brought their rosaries. You know, everybody brought their religious symbols. And they all cried out to God. They finished the prayer meeting. No rain. They all went home. The next day, though, in the town square where they had the meeting, there was a little boy. Oh, God, we need rain. God, show your power and give us rain. The day before, with all the preachers and all the religious symbols, calling on God, no rain. The little boy shows up the next day by himself in the town square. And as he was praying, the sky got darker. As he was praying, rumbling occurred. As he was praying, the shower hit, and it was pouring down rain. What was it about this little boy? He said the same things that the people said the day before. The day before, they had all the preachers, they had all the ministers. They even brought their religious symbols. But the day the young boy came, when the clouds got dark, he lifted up the symbol that he brought, an umbrella. He expected it to rain. See, you know when you expect rain. When you anticipate rain, you take an umbrella. When a man tells you it's gonna rain. When a meteorologist says it's going to storm today, you say, where's my umbrella? Because you believe his word. He wrong half the time. And yet, even though he wrong half the time, you take him at his word. But God, who's never wrong ever any other time, we do not act on his word. He says, what use is it? He says, God told Abraham, he says in verse 20, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow? He says, you're a fool not to trust God. That's what James is saying. You foolish Christian. He's talking about brethren, Christians. He says, many Christians are foolish. That faith without works is useless. Believing it, but not to the point of acting on it, means you're not taking your belief seriously. And it won't benefit you at all, no matter how much Bible study you have, no matter how much praying you do. It will not benefit you if it does not translate to an action. To say, I believe God will meet my needs, but not trust him to give from the first fruits, saying, you don't really believe me. You talking. you talking? You don't believe me. And we do that in so many areas. He says, was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up Isaac? Abraham offered up Isaac, the real quick version. That was hard. That's not like an easy thing to do. And you certainly don't feel like it. He didn't feel like killing his son, his only son, the son whom he loved, Genesis 22 says. But he said, God, you know what you're doing. He went out there and acted like God was telling the truth, even though it didn't make any sense to him, even though it was crazy, even though it was a contradiction to the promise of God earlier that he was going to make of his son a great nation. God, listen, watch this now. God will often put you in a catch-22 to see if you trust him. In other words, he's not taking your word for it. You know, I trust the Lord. He ain't buying that. He will put you, and let me explain something now. That's what a trial is. A trial is when God puts you in a catch-22 to see what you're going to do. Now, you could argue, well, he know what I'm going to do. Why we got to go through all this? Simple. Because he enjoys watching you do it. See, it's one thing for him to know it. It's another thing for him to be involved with you as you do it. He loves the fact that you choose him over you. Him over your friends, him over your feelings, him over your emotions. He loves to know that you trust him. How do we know David could kill Goliath? Because he picked up 5 stones. Because Goliath had 4 brothers. He was going to take out a whole family. How do we know the widow of Zarephath believed that God was going to supply her a meal? Because she obeyed God and fed the preacher. How do we know that Peter believes he could walk on water because he stepped out of the boat? In other words, you know what they believe because you could watch what they did. So whenever you tell God, I believe you in this matter, what are you going to do that will give you visible proof that what you said you believe, you believe? Faith is to be demonstrated, not discussed. It's to be demonstrated, not talked about. And then you will see the collection of all that God has given you. Now, I'm not talking about this name it, claim it stuff. I'm not talking about this God giving you a new this and a new that. Although he may, I am talking about seeing all the riches that you possess in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about your spiritual growth. I'm talking about you seeing God become real to you. I'm talking about seeing him express himself through you. That's what I'm talking about. If you want a balloon to go high, fill it with helium. The balloon is simply an environment through which helium expresses itself. God's desire is to take you higher. But he can only do that if he can fill you with himself. And he can't fill you with himself unless you trust him. And you don't know you trust him until you're willing to walk by faith instead of just talk by faith. If your faith never touches your feet, James says you're a fool. Because you'll never see what God can do. What area aren't you trusting God right now? You know what his word says to do. You have the Holy Spirit, so there's the power to do it. But you don't believe if I do it, it's going to work. So God now is insulted that you question his integrity. And it may not look like it'll work. It may not feel like it'll work. But what has he told you to do? He wants you to validate your faith and let him take care of the results.